If I asked you what do Christy Moore, Bill O'Herlihy and Wexford have in common, I'd hazard a guess you wouldn't say nuclear power. Let me explain.
Let me explain. With Sean Defoe, a News Talk original.
In the 1970s, the Irish government hatched plans to build the state's own nuclear power plant. Those plans were started, rather unexpectedly, by a war in Israel. On October 6, 1973, on the Jewish holy day Yom Kippur, Israel was attacked by Syria and Egypt in a move that took everyone, including the US President Richard Nixon, by surprise.
It was no surprise to me that our intelligence didn't discover it, because they're really not that good. But I was very surprised that the Israelis didn't, because they have the best intelligence in the world, and they were totally surprised.
Pushed back and under pressure, the Israelis reached out to the US for aid, which came not out of the goodness of Nixon's heart.
There were 85 Soviet ships in the Mediterranean. That on those ships, among other things, were helicopters and landing barges, and that three Soviet airborne divisions, 50,000 men, had been placed on alert. But we could not allow the Soviet Union to intervene unilaterally there, because if they had, we would have been forced to intervene. And I knew that under the circumstances, we could not stand by and let the Soviet Union move in, and that would risk a world war.
The US resupplies allowed an Israeli victory, but the cost was high, and not just for Israel. The Arab nations of OPEC, a group of Middle Eastern oil-producing countries, introduced an oil export embargo, turning off the taps to much of the developed world.
When I spoke to you earlier, I indicated that the sudden cutoff of oil from the Middle East had turned the serious energy shortages we expected this winter into a major energy crisis. That crisis is now being felt around the world, as other industrialized nations have also suffered from cutbacks in oil from the Middle East. Shortages in Europe, for example, are far more critical than they are in the United States. Already, seven European nations have imposed a ban on Sunday driving.
And that's true that a number of countries banned driving on Sundays. Petrol stations would run out of supply. And in some countries, you could only go to fill up every second day based on whether your license plate started with an odd or even number. Which brings us back to Ireland, which was far from immune from the oil crisis. So the Taoiseach Jack Lynch wrote to his energy minister Des O'Malley, warning in a more prescient way than he could have known at the time, that fossil fuels would be insufficient to satisfy the world's energy needs by the early 2000s. And like much of the world at that time, O'Malley began to look at the nuclear option.
It's towards the small end of the scale, but it's still a fairly sizable unit.
This is Sean Coakley. He worked for the ESB as the head of design for the project.
Why put it at Carnsore? What's the attraction there?
Well, on the criteria that we'd worked out, Carnsore came out as the best site as for our purpose, and we selected it accordingly. So the criteria being that we had to get adequate foundations, rock foundations, adequate cooling water. It had to be fairly or as near as possible to our transmission lines, a certain amount of isolation. We also, on the social situation, we didn't want an area of very high amenity where we'd be disturbance, and we wanted an area where the employment would be of benefit to the local.
How many jobs would it bring?
Well, during construction, it could peak out at about 1,000, and for permanent, about 200, 250, with a fairly high proportion of professional or semi-skilled people in that.
Does the ESB plan any further nuclear stations?
Well, it's a little bit far ahead, yes, but it is possible that, through the 80s into the 90s, there will possibly be a series of them.
Irish engineers travelled all over the world to see how these nuclear reactors worked and how they might build one themselves at Carnsore Point on the southern tip of Wexford.
As the oil crisis takes increasing toll of power users throughout the world, Irish engineers here to study technical and safety techniques. During the last 8 years, ESB engineers have undergone training in nuclear stations in the United Kingdom, United States, Canada and Germany. The triplicated control systems and the fail-safe mechanisms make an accident virtually impossible.
This British Movie Tone report effectively acting like an infomercial for nuclear power.
The nuclear station at Obrigheim on the River Neckar in Germany. It's been in commission for 6 years and provides some idea what a nuclear station in Ireland might look like. Apart from vineyards, similar countryside to Ireland. And life in the area virtually unchanged with the coming of nuclear power. The children play safely as before. The potato harvesting and life in the fields goes on as for centuries past. The apples in no way affected by the nearby nuclear station. And the fish are reported to be bigger in the purified water outfall.
Bigger and with three eyes and extra fins for nutrition. But of course, there is another side to nuclear power. People across the world were no stranger to the idea of a nuclear fallout. The first bombs dropped on Japan in 1945 and the Cuban Missile Crisis of the early 60s made sure of that. It led in many parts to Cold War hysteria, including in Galway, where in 1966 there were plans to build a nuclear bunker, leading to this rather dramatic report.
Now, are you worried about the bomb? Do you think it will fall someday?
No, I don't know really. I'm not worried about it anyway.
Are you yourself worried about the bomb?
Well, not really. I don't think much about it, like, you know.
Do you not expect it to fall at any stage?
Well, I hope our Blessed Lady and our Divine Son will stop it. That's the only thing, prayer.
Well, do you think bombs are going to fall?
Well, that's a good question.
Have you learned to live with the bomb? Do you worry that one day it might go off? A lot of people think it will. In fact, they're so convinced that hundreds, and yes, even thousands of people in Ireland seem to expect the worst. These are the people who have swelled the ranks of that organisation prepared for doom, the Civil Defence. Take Galway, for example. 149,000 people in the county. 600 of them give their hours of leisure to thoughts and plans for the day of disaster, the day the world goes mad and fear becomes terrifying fact. Already, they have their civil defence ambulances and the gear necessary for saving life. But now, they plan something else. An H-bomb bunker. A fallout shelter, call it what you will.
But that's the big trouble. Ever since the news broke, the people of Galway have been struck by a metaphorical dose of fallout because the shelter is being built for a mere 55 people and no one knows exactly who they'll be.
Do you recognise that voice? One who would go on to spar with Eamon Dunphy and John Giles on RT soccer coverage for many years? That's right, a young news reporter, Bill O'Hurley.
What is certain is that the people of Galway have their own ideas as to who should go into the shelter.
I think nuns, priests, women and children should be catered for in a much more comprehensive way.
Irrespective of whether a person is a ratepayer or a rentpayer or not any payer at all, they deserve protection. They are a member of the state.
Women and children first. They should have some tradesmen-like, such as plumbers, masons, carpenters, that could build up again when they'd have a chance coming out into the town, and some farmers.
If there was room from me, and I have a little daughter, I'd let my daughter go and I'd stay outside.
But briefing documents prepared for Taoiseach Jack Lynch talked up the safety of nuclear power. In one note from a senior civil servant, the risk of an accident was described as extremely low, with 100 to 350 deaths being the most probable outcome of any incident. The civil servant warned there was little time to be lost in ordering a nuclear reactor for Ireland and went on to say the risk of someone being killed in a nuclear incident was so low it was comparable to being struck by lightning or being killed by the sting of an insect. Of course, the debate on nuclear went to that great clearinghouse of public debate in Ireland in the 70s.
Ladies and gentlemen, to whom it concerns, it's The Late Late Show. And here is your host, Gay Byrne.
Thank you. Thank you.
It certainly is fair to say that it's the most controversial issue. There are people who say that the subject of a nuclear plant in Carnsore is the most important decision that the Irish people will be asked to make in the next 10, 20 years. I was looking at some quotes, for example, during the week, and they vary from being told on the one hand that without nuclear power, Ireland, all of us in Ireland, will end up starving and freezing to death in the dark. And on the other hand, they say that with nuclear power, we'll endanger ourselves and the environment for longer than recorded history. And yet, nevertheless, the point is made that 80% of our energy is imported, and the recent oil crisis showed our vulnerability.
Quiz that night were Dr. David Nolan of the Wexford Nuclear Safety Association and Dr. Ian McCauley, Professor of Physics in Trinity College Dublin.
Around the world today, nuclear power is no longer economic.
In broad terms, what are the risks involved?
The risks involve because associated with the reactor, you have radiation, and radiation causes cancer. Now, there are strict regulations regarding the amount of radiation that can escape from a nuclear power station. But there is now, around the world, a very considerable body of scientific opinion which thinks that no form of radiation at all can be added to the existing background radiation without further increasing the risks of cancer to people.
In your opinion, will it work and will it be economic?
In my opinion, it will work. There are about 220 working nuclear power stations in the world at the moment. The first one went into operation in 1956 and is still working. The economics are that per unit of electricity, it costs about half as much to make from nuclear as from oil, and about two-thirds as much as it would cost to make a unit of electricity from coal.
What are the risks involved?
There are risks in anything we do. The risks in nuclear power are less than from any other way of generating electricity that is available to us.
What happens to the waste products from the nuclear station?
The waste products, as Mr. Nolan has said, are removed and processed. The waste after that is at the moment on a small scale being converted into a vitrified form, that is glassy material, which can then be stored in stable rock formations.
Would that be in Ireland?
That could be in Ireland.
The argument at that stage was as much about economics as it was about safety, with some academics arguing the nuclear era was already over. Indeed, this was written in McGill magazine.
Nuclear power is dead, but dead like a dinosaur shot in the head, with so many ganglia and nerve endings out at its tail and extremities that it still thrashes about. One day, the news will reach the tail, the head, is dead.
But it wasn't debate that stopped the power plant in its tracks. It was rock. In August 1979, as many as 10,000 people descended on Carnsore Point for a three-day festival. There were tents, there was rock and roll, but also a creche for the children and side discussions on things like uranium mining accidents. It was the culmination of a travelling anti-nuclear power show fronted by Christy Moore and Donal Lunny, among others, and including News Talk's own Tom Dunn. And the people were adamant there was to be no nuclear power here.
What we want is militant resistance. When the time comes, I advocate that people lie down in front of the bulldozers and stop them from building it.
Well, I think it's a good turnout. It shows a lot of young people really do feel strongly about this sort of thing. And it was the first one, and the people were quite prepared to stay here despite the rain and everything for the occasion.
I'm totally opposed to building a nuclear power station in Ireland. I don't think it's necessary at this point.
And we are being very adroitly manoeuvred along a path from which there will be no return. Because once you get involved in the nuclear industry, there is no way back unless through a massive explosion, and then you're back to the very beginning.
The other big event to cool the government's steam on Carnsore Point happened in March of 1979. At 4 in the morning, the coolers at the Three Mile Island nuclear plant in Pennsylvania malfunctioned, leading ultimately to a small radioactive release into the air. It's the most serious malfunction in the US nuclear system to date, but the minor meltdown led to no detectable health impacts in the area over the following 25 years. Despite that, the bungled response from the US authorities led to mass panic, and concerns about nuclear power took hold. Here at home, an emergency plan was prepared for Wexford should there be a nuclear incident, which did the opposite of assuaging fears about the project. And a number of years later, not massively long before the Chernobyl disaster, the plans for Ireland's own nuclear power station were quietly shelved. Ireland does have a plan if there was a nuclear fallout in Europe, though, and you can find out about it by scrolling way back in your feeds. It was one of our first episodes. This has been Let Me Explain. I've been Sean Defoe, and I'll chat to you soon.